today is found in the Gospel of John, the 9th chapter, concerning the man that was born blind. As Jesus passed by, he saw a man that was blind from his birth. Jesus was coming out of the temple. He had been in the temple, and he had been speaking unto the Jewish people in the temple, and these Jews, they did not receive Christ. They took up stones to stone him, and he fled out of the temple through the midst of them. He had to flee, we would say, for his life. And when he came out of the temple, there sat this man who had been blind from his birth. Jesus didn't continue on. He took time out. Even though his life was in jeopardy, he stopped. So this man was in an awful case. He had never seen the light of the day. He had never seen the sun, never seen the moon or the stars. He never had seen any persons, never seen any animals. He never had seen what he looked like himself. He was in an awful state. He lived a life in pitch darkness. I was thinking about this, and the thought struck me, in my short space of lifetime, I can't remember anyone that I know, and maybe you'll go along with me, that you know, that ever had a child that was born blind. I don't remember of an instance of it, even in our congregation, that any of you parents ever had a child that was born blind. What a sad case that this man was in. When you consider when he was born, how his parents must have been looking forward to the time that maybe that this would clear up, that someday he would be able to see. You know, if we have children, there's something wrong with them. We often say, well, they'll outgrow it. And they do a lot of times. And now these parents probably had the same thoughts, but he remained blind. They probably took him to physicians. They told him point blank, he'll never see. Nothing could be done for him. As he grew up, he became a problem. Finally, they set him on the roadside somewhere near the temple, and this is the way he made his livelihood. He sat there begging. Should we not, as creatures, be thankful for the use of our eyes? You ever stop to think of that? It happens already when a child is maybe 5, 6 years of age. It's happened. They've got into a scrap with other children, using sticks sometimes, and they pointed out one of their eyes. A little boy or a little girl had to go through life with one eye. Sometimes it happens in accidents. So the children, that people lose their eyesight. How many when they grow older? They get cataracts on their eyes. They go through operations. Sometimes they see a little better, but many times it's a failure. There's no improvement in the case. Sometimes it's worse. I'm not falling upon the physician for this, but this is true. And now this poor man, he sat there day after day, and everybody going in and out of the temple, they seen him. They knew him. A lot of people knew him. Now, this is a point which was to magnify the power of Jesus Christ. Now when he come along, he stopped and he saw this man. What a wonder. Jesus stopped by this man. He who gives eyesight to every one of us and who in providence can take it away, he had pity, he had compassion upon this man. This man, he was a chosen vessel of God. God was going to glorify himself in this man by giving him his natural eyesight back and giving unto him spiritual eyesight. And now these disciples, they were with Jesus, and they said unto Jesus, Master, who has sinned, this man or his parents, that he has been born blind? The Jews, not only the Jews, been carried on even to this present moment. Maybe you and I am guilty of this many times. When God afflicts somebody, irrespective of what affliction he brings upon a person, and if we know this person, and we know that they're living in some particular sin, they've done something that was outstanding, but then we are so apt to say it's because of this sin or that sin that this person has been afflicted. Isn't it true? And now the Jews had this, that if somebody was afflicted extraordinarily, then it must have been for some particular sin. And therefore, the disciples, they questioned Jesus what sin these people were guilty of, whether it was the man himself or whether it was his parents. Jesus condemns this, my hearers. You go to the 13th chapter of the Gospel of Luke, you find there mention made of certain Galileans who Pilate had slaughtered in the temple. He mingled their blood with their sacrifices. And they put the question to Jesus about these Galileans. They told him the story. And why did these Galileans have to suffer in this way? And Jesus said, think ye that these Galileans were greater sinners than others? Except ye repent, ye shall likewise perish. The Lord doesn't always send afflictions because we commit. I do say that he does send afflictions at times. He says himself, you only have I known of all the people in the earth, and therefore I will punish you for your iniquities. But he sometimes sends afflictions in love. The apostle says that if we are without chastisement, then we are bastards and not sons. It is better to have in the providence of God an affliction, a trial, something brought upon either you, your wife, or your children, that it may be a mark that you are a son or that you are a daughter of the Lord God Almighty. For then to go on without being visited in this way, a sign that you're not one. Of these disciples questioning the Lord Jesus, he gave them the answer and said, neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God may be manifested in him. While I am in the world, I must do the work of him who hath sent me. I am the light of the world as long as I am in the world. The Lord Jesus Christ then reveals here that God was going to be glorified in the cure of this blind man. It's a horrible thing if you think that this man had to be born blind and he had to live all this while till Jesus came to him so that God would be glorified. And still it's true. He hadn't sinned, and neither had his parents sinned, but that he was born blind. Now that don't mean that they were without sin. Every one of us sinned. But they had no particular sin, and there was no particular reason, but this, that God had done it, and God was going to be glorified in it. Therefore, he had been born blind. And now Jesus, he's speaking to his disciples and telling them that God would be glorified in manifesting his works in this man. Don't you think that this man heard this? He was listening to this conversation. He heard what Jesus said, and he believed what Jesus said, that God was going to glorify himself in him, a blind man. God was going to manifest his wonder in him. He listened to that voice that was speaking. He didn't know the person. He couldn't see the person, but he believed him. And Jesus says, I am the light of the world. We all know that God is light. In him dwelleth no darkness. He is the fountain of all wisdom and of all knowledge and of all understanding. And the apostle says that even in Christ Jesus, the fullness of God doth dwell. In him likewise, there is a fullness of knowledge, of wisdom, and of understanding. He then is the fountain of all light. And now I must work the works of him that sent me while it is yet day. For the night cometh when no man can work. Jesus was speaking here that he was to do the works for which his Father had sent him. And that the night was coming. This means that the enemies of Christ soon make an end to this day of working upon this earth. And while he proceeds, he was to do the work that God had laid upon him to do. Now this was one of the works that he was sent for to do. It was now the set time that this blind man was to have his eyes open. And as he had said this, Jesus spit on the ground, and he made clay out of the spit. It was about the same. You know, little children, they do that. You've seen little children playing in water sometimes. They take water and they make mud patties. Imagine the Lord of life and glory bending down, picking up the little dirt where he had spit upon, and making clay of that. You know, even in the spittle of Christ, there's virtue. Virtue, whatever comes from Christ, there is something in it, even in his spittle. He took this clay, and he put it upon this man's eyes. You know, this man, or pray to Christ, that he would cure him of his blindness. You don't read it. We see here the sovereignty of God. the wonder of it, the mercy, the pity, the compassion that Jesus showed without even him asking for it. He takes this and he puts it on his eyes. Did he object? Did he speak against what Christ was doing? He said nothing. Why? He had heard what Christ had said to the disciples. He let Christ put this on his eyes. Then Christ said to him, go to the pool Siloam and wash. Now this was a matter that tested this man's faith. You read of Naaman, the Syrian, who came to Elijah to be cured of his leprosy. He said unto him, go down to the river Jordan and wash thyself 7 times. And what did that man say? Did he do it? He put up such an objection. Huh, he wasn't going down to that muddy river. There was much nicer rivers in his own country where he could go to. But this man, when Christ said to him to go to the pool Siloam, made no objection whatsoever. Now this pool was southeast of Jerusalem. It was at the foot of Mount Zion. There were two pools, the upper pool and the lower pool. Solomon had built these pools. For the one pool he had used to water his garden and his trees. But the other pool was used by the inhabitants that dwelt in the lower city of Jerusalem. Which pool that he went to is unknown. But now he was sent to this pool. You know he was blind. He couldn't see. He needed somebody to lead him to that pool. He had never been there before. Sometimes blind people, they have a habit of going a certain way every day. They get accustomed to this, and they don't need a guide. But he had never been to this pool. So surely somebody must have taken him by the hand and led him there. Probably the people that were standing around when Jesus was doing this talking with his disciples and putting this clay upon his eyes. But in obedience to Christ, the obedience of faith, he went to the pool. And when he got down to that pool, he took the water and he began to wash his eyes. And something happened to that man's eyes that no oculist, no physician could do. He had cataracts on his eyes. And when he washed them, these cataracts, they came off. And he was given to see. What a wonder this must have been to this man. He never had seen in his life. Just ordinary water washing clay off his eyes. And he was restored. He came seeing things. He was given to see the mountain. He was given to see in the distance the city, the temple, the building. He was given to see the people round about him. Never had he seen it. All you can imagine. What a wonderful person to think for this man, personally. And his eyes went open, and he saw. And now he came back. And as he came back, some of the neighbors met him. They looked at him. They were so surprised. They couldn't believe their eyes. They said, is not this he that was born blind? Others said, it is he. And he says, I am he. He had been sitting begging for a living, and these neighbors knew him because he sat there. And now when they seen him that he could see, what a wonder it was to these neighbors. He was a different man, my hearers. You've ever seen a blind man? You ever meet one? Oh, they're awful, aren't they? They have no sight. They have such a ghastly look. They're terrible to look at for your own eyes. They have a staring space of ignorance, and they don't see nothing. This man's face immediately lighted up. Immediately he was cheerful. Immediately he had a smile on his face. The change was so great. The neighbors saw it right away. And they were so filled with wonder concerning what had taken place with this man. And when he said, "I am he," then they began to question him and say, "Who opened thine eyes?" Well, what else could he say but to the honor and to the glory of him who had opened his eyes? "A man," he says, "called Jesus, put clay on my eye, told me to go to the pool Siloam and wash." And I went and washed, and I came to see. You see, he speaks about Jesus being a man. He didn't say the Lord told me. He had never seen Jesus. He didn't know what he looked like. And when they said to him, "Where is he?" "I don't know." You know, they could have brought Jesus right in front of him, and he wouldn't have known him. How could he know? He never seen him. The only way that he would have detected that it was Jesus was by his voice. You may be sure he never forgot that voice. But now the neighbors, they were so surprised with what had taken place with this man, that they took a hold of him, and they brought him to the Pharisees. They were just at that time having a meeting. This was the Sanhedrin. They brought this man to the Pharisees, and they spake unto the Pharisees concerning what had taken place with this man. And they began to question this man. They asked him how that it had taken place with him. He's freely told that. He had told the neighbors, and he told these rulers of the Sanhedrin the same story. But now these Jewish rulers, these Pharisees, they didn't believe him. With all the evidence and with all the witnesses that were there, they didn't believe that this man had been born blind and that he had received his sight. Until they called the parents of this man that had been born blind. They wanted to confirm it. They wanted to make sure that it actually was so. They thought it was a hoax. And now they sent for the parents of this man. And when the parents came, then they began to question these parents. Now suppose you were one of those parents. Suppose that had been your son. How happy would you not have been if your son came home to you, who every day sat there by the road begging? He was blind, and he came home all of a sudden to see. Oh, what would you say? "Who done it to you? Where is the person that did it to you? Let's go to him. Oh, let's thank him and let's praise him." Don't you think so? I'm sure you and I would do the same thing.
And now when these parents were called, did they do this? Did they come after him who had done this wonder to their son? No. Why not? What was the matter? They had been warned. They had been told that if they confessed that Christ had done that to their son, they would be cast out of the synagogue. They would be excommunicated. They wouldn't have any right or any privilege anymore to come up to the temple to pray, to worship God. And it went a little further. This excommunication, likewise, resulted that they couldn't do any business anymore with the Jews. They didn't want to have anything to do with them anymore. They were then separated even from their own people. This then was what these parents feared if they came up to the temple or came to this meeting and told them what had taken place. You see the difference now between this man who was blind and his parents. They had no love, they had no affection, they had no faith in Christ Jesus, none whatsoever. They feared man. They feared the consequences of coming out with what had taken place. How many of you are like that? There are so many people who are like these parents. When it comes to the point that you have to come out for your religion, that you have to confess what you believe and stand firm for it, how many are like these parents? They don't care. Their conscience smites them, and they still go over the top of their conscience and do not come out and confess the truth as it is in Jesus. And these parents then, when they were brought before this meeting, they were questioned. Is this your son who you say was born blind? Yes, they said. And this is our son. And that he was born blind, we can affirm. But how that he now seeth, we know not. See? Don't you think it is? We know not. Ask him himself. He's of age. He can tell you. They cast it upon their son. For fear, as I said, of being cast out of the church. So now they began to question him again. They called him, and they said unto him, tell us now, how did your eyes were open? I can see this man standing in the front of these Jews. He had told them. What did they want to have him tell it again for? He had heard what they had said concerning this precious Jesus, who he loved, who he was attached to, who he had never seen, but who he felt if he could see him, and if he knew where he was, he would run to him, and he would fall down before him and worship him. He had such love in his heart for Jesus. It couldn't be otherwise. And now when he was brought there again, and they began to question him again, he said, what? I've told you already. Shall I tell you again? Do you want to become his disciples, he says? Why, they were just seeking to find fault with what Jesus had done. One of them says, this man is not of God because he don't keep the Sabbath day. Jesus had cured this man on the Sabbath day. And because of this, Jesus was not of God. You know, my hearers, Jewish people, before they were carried away captive to Babylon, they lived in all manner of sins, mostly idolatry. And they observed no more the commandments that God had given unto them. But when they were brought back from Babylon, then they observed the institutions that God had given them, and especially the Sabbath day. The rabbis that instructed the people, they added somewhere around 40 more laws concerning the Sabbath day. They made the Sabbath day, instead of a day of rest, they made it a day of burden. And when Jesus came and began to preach, it was for this purpose that he preached, to deliver these people from these things that had been added to this commandment, so that they would spiritually observe the Lord's Day, the Sabbath day. For these Jews, they weren't allowed to even wear shoes with nails in them on the Sabbath day, because that would be a burden. They weren't allowed to go on a field and tread down the grass, because that would be something like harvesting. A tailor who made his livelihood by making clothes, before the sun went down, he was to put his needle away, because if he didn't, then he would be transgressing the Sabbath day. Such laws these rabbis added to this commandment. And now, when Jesus cured this man on the Sabbath day, this was a point that they said he was not of God. If you read scripture, you will find that Jesus, he made 7 cures on the Sabbath day. He could have cured him another day, but he specially did it on the Sabbath day. And therefore, they, the Jewish people, would not receive him, because he did this on the Sabbath day. And now, there were amongst this Sanhedrin 2 men, Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea. And when these rulers, these Pharisees, spake like this, then we find that there was some that said, well, where does this man get this power from? If he wasn't of God, he could never do these things. And there was a division amongst them. We sincerely believe that these 2 men brought this division up. They couldn't go along with the multitude of the rulers in condemning Christ because he had done this on the Sabbath day. And now, my friends, Jesus, he is speaking and teaching that the Sabbath day should be delivered of all these additions that these rabbis had added to it. And therefore, they hated him the more. Another point why they hated him was that he had not come to them, that he had not been sent out by them, that he had not been instructed by them, he had not received any teaching of them. He came immediately from God, and he began to teach. Therefore, they rejected him. And now they're speaking to this blind man concerning Jesus, that he wasn't of God. This man, they said, we know is a sinner. This is what they said of Christ. This man is a sinner. My hearers, if that was true, there would not be one person on this earth that ever would be saved. They called him a sinner. And this man, he spoke back. He says, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not, he says. But one thing I know, I was blind, and now I see. You'll never reason me out of that. you'll never, with all your objections and all your reasonings, get me off this point that I was blind and now I see. He couldn't do anything else but confess what Jesus had done to him. He didn't know whether Jesus was a sinner or not. He never seen Jesus. He didn't know whether Jesus lived a sinful life. But he was so sure that he was from God because he had experienced a godly wonder. His eyes had been opened. And therefore he came out for him. He stood there alone. His parents and these rulers, they were afraid. His parents and the rulers were contradicting him, and still he comes out for Jesus. "One thing I know," he says, "I was blind, but now I see." And now they begin to speak again to this man, and they said to him that they did not know where he came from. They said, "Moses, we know, was a man of God, and God spake by him. But this man, we know not whence he came." How lying they were in this respect. Because before this, they had said, "This man, we know whence he come. And we know his parents, and we know his brothers and his sisters." And now they say, "Moses, we know, man of God. God spake by him. But this man, we know not whence he came." They contradicted themselves. One minute they're telling the truth, and the next minute they're lying. If they had wanted to, they could have found out where Jesus had come from. If they had examined the matter, they could have found out where his mother was and who his father had been. They took this here blind man and brought his parents there, and they wanted to make sure that he had been blind. Why didn't they search this matter out? Another point, and they said, "Moses, he was a God, man of God." They had his writings. He had done many miracles and wonders in the land of Egypt. They were sure that Moses had talked with God and God had talked with him. But now that they had went out every day and followed Jesus, he was doing miracle after miracle in the front of these Jewish people. Moses, he spake of Jesus, that God would raise up a prophet unto them that would be greater than he, and to him they should listen. Here the prophet was raised up. He was amongst them. He was doing all sorts of wonders and miracles, and they did not receive him. They rejected him. They would not believe in him. "As for this fellow," they said, "we know not whence he come." They even call him a fellow in scorn of speaking about Christ. And now this blind man, when he was put on the spot, he stood there in the fear of God. He had such boldness and such liberty to speak to these rulers. Imagine a poor blind beggar who never had any education. Here he was standing in the front of a council of men who were wisdom themselves. But he was standing with his God. The Lord says, "In the hour that you need it, I will give it unto you." And this poor blind man, he stood there. And he stood praising and glorifying his heavenly benefactor. He couldn't do otherwise. They said unto him that Moses had spoken unto them, and that they were Moses' disciples. But he was a disciple of Jesus, this poor blind man. Now they spake this way as if it was a mockery. They spake in scorn that he was a disciple of Jesus. But it was an honor to be called that. Even these rulers had to admit that he was a disciple of Jesus. Although they didn't like him, although they hated Christ, they were filled with malice against him, still they said, "You are his disciple." And then this man, he began to speak, and he said that This is something wonderful, he says. You know not whence he came, but he says, since the world was made, it has never been heard, he says, that a man born blind has received his sight. He says, if this man wasn't of God, he says, he couldn't do that. Oh, how he testified for Jesus in the midst of these men. And these men, they became angrier yet. And they spake unto him, You were born altogether in sin, they said, and teach thou us? They threw him out. They cast him out. This is what he got for testifying what Christ had done to him. This was the persecution that he had undergone. He was cast out by these Jewish leaders. My hearers, my time is gone. I'm sorry that I stayed mostly by the historical part of my subject. There is a beautiful spiritual illustration in this, which I hope next Lord's Day to commence with. The Lord bless for the feeble instruction this afternoon to your immortal souls. That's all for today.